Welcome to Hey Joe, a podcast answering questions asked by our listeners. Created by pet professionals for pet professionals. And now, your host, Hey Joe's very own, Joe Zuccarello.
What's up, everyone? Joe Zuccarello here, and welcome to Hey Joe, a podcast brought to you by Paragon School of Pet Grooming. Check out our site at paragonpetschool.com for lots of really cool information on a variety of programs, products, and to connect to educational resources such as webinars, podcasts, current events, special news, certifications, and lots of other helpful information to help you grow yourself, your team, and of course your business. Let's get started with this week's episode. Hey everyone out there in the Hey Joe listener audience, this is Joe Zuccarello, your host of the Hey Joe podcast, and I am bringing you a new episode of the podcast, and one that I know I start out probably every episode talking about how excited I am about the guests, but I hope you understand out there that I really do try to get excited about the guests that we have on, and the person that I have on today, I have known for a handful of years, and I'm just continuing to be impressed by her ability to not only own a successful pet services business, but to be a really great entrepreneurial spirit, but also be one that is just so fantastic at being a leader, not only growing her business, but growing her staff, growing her team through strong leadership skills. And I felt like, you know, I've been watching her do what she does for several years. And I thought, you know who benefit from this? You, the Hey Joe listener audience. So today I am joined by Danielle Amar. And Danielle is a professional pet groomer. And she's also the owner of Zen Dog Spa. Danielle, thanks for joining us on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me, Joe. I'm so excited to be here.
So Danielle, I gave just a little bit more than your name to the listener audience out there. Can you just tell us a little bit more about who you are and, you know, how long you've been in the grooming business and just sort of like your career leading up to the grooming industry, grooming business, mm-hmm. and then now how it had morphed into a successful business owner.
Yeah, of course. So I have been in the pet care industry for a little over 25 years now. I started out in my early 20s as a dog groomer. I learned to groom through an apprenticeship in New Jersey with a wonderful owner there. And from there, I was able to actually open my own grooming shop within about 2 years of becoming a groomer. I had that shop for about 3 years and then decided I was going to go travel and see what else the world had to offer besides New Jersey. I ended up in Southern Utah working for Best Friends Animal Society. They are the largest no-kill organization in the United States. And I was a groomer there. And then I also kind of branched off and did dog care, just general dog care, mostly the puppies. I worked in the adoption realm for a little while and then humane education as well. And then my family and I, we relocated to North Carolina. And at that point, I kind of, you know, wanted to stay in the pet industry. So I was lucky enough to work with a growing daycare boarding industry out there called Rough Housing. I was there for, about 6 years, I believe. And at the end of that was helping manage four facilities that usually had over 100 dogs a day. So it was a pretty big job, but it was a lot of fun. It really gave me a really good view into boarding and daycare, something I hadn't really been involved with before. And throughout all of this, I was still grooming. I was grooming my dogs. I was doing side jobs grooming. And then when I relocated to Charleston, South Carolina, I decided that the time was right. It was finally time for me to go back into business for myself. I had learned so much through, you know, my past experience owning a business as a very young 20-something-year-old, working for a nonprofit and then working for a larger organization. So I was able to find a grooming shop. It was called Coats and Tails at the time, and it had been in business for about 20 years. Great location, really good, solid client base. So kind of took the leap and bought that. We're celebrating this month our 5 years as Zen Dog Spa. And so it's been a very active 5 years. We've had a lot going on. We have a lot coming up. I've loved being a part of this industry. I've loved seeing the changes that are taking place, and especially in grooming right now. I'm super excited about where we as an industry are going in grooming.
Well, that is, I want to go back to one of the earlier things you had mentioned, and I just learned a lot more. Hey, for the listeners out there, I just learned a lot more about Danielle that I didn't know before. So I'm impressed, right? So now I have lots of questions, right? But you know what? One thing that you had mentioned was that you learned grooming, and then I think you said within like 2 years after graduating, you took a bold, brave move. I mean, you were still a very young person and a young person in this industry, but also a young person age-wise to start your own business.
Yeah. It was scary. I'm not going to lie.
So did you have people around you that had owned their own business before? So it wasn't as scary, or was this like, you sort of had this unique entrepreneurial spirit amongst maybe your peer group at the time?
So I think it's a little bit of both. I was very lucky to have my mentor, Stacy Herbert. She's over in the dog spa over in New Jersey. Hey, Stacy. She really, showed me how to be a really strong businesswoman early on. She was always, she kind of set the example for me of what I wanted to do. So I got very lucky in that way. I mean, I was very well prepared to do that. I also had a wonderful support team. I mean, my dad was in there on the weekends fixing things. My brother-in-law at the time would come in on the weekends and wash dog. My mom was my receptionist. So I was very lucky in that I had a very close-knit family and community to help me through that. But it definitely came with its challenges. And there are definitely things that, now looking back 20 years later as a business owner, I realized that I could have, done a lot differently.
Well, but again, one really great part that I admire about what you just said is that, we've all been in those times when we say, boy, if I would have known then what I know now. Well, my question is, how would we know now if we didn't know?
Right.
If we didn't experience then, right?
Yeah.
So, would we still appreciate it? I still think no matter, even if we could go back and rewind time and make ourselves smarter back then, maybe other than the Powerball winning tickets or something, winning numbers.
Right.
I think we'd be at any stage saying, boy, if I would have known then. I think 5 years from now, if I say it, I'll probably be looking back, boy, in 2024, if I would have known then what I know now. Right? So, and that's okay. I think that's what makes us essentially career learners, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're always seeking more and more information.
Yeah.
Tell us, okay, so at Zen Dog Spot, how many grooming stations do you have now? How many grooming professionals do you have working for you now? And you've got some exciting news. I don't know.
I do. We've got exciting stuff.
I don't know if I was supposed to say anything, but okay, I'll put it out there.
No, it's out there. It's out there. So currently, there are 9 of us on the team. There are 6 full-time groomers. I have a full-time groom tech, a full-time client experience coordinator, and then myself, who I groom probably 50% of my time is grooming, and then 50% of my time is working in and on the business. So we are actually next month getting ready to shut down for some renovations. The retail space directly next to us became available earlier last year. And so we are working on moving ourselves into that space. So connecting the buildings, making sure there's, safe pass-throughs for the dogs and stuff. And then I'm taking this opportunity to update the grooming shop because, as I mentioned before, it has been a grooming shop for 25 years. So it has seen some things. It has seen some things. So we're getting ready to basically, do a whole overhaul of our bathing area, modernizing it, getting new tubs, getting just, fresh new equipment, fresh new walls, fresh new floors. We're getting ready to do some pretty big things here, and basically doubling the space of the spa. Wow. So that is basically going to give us the ability in the future, not the near future, but the future, to basically double our capacity.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, you're going to grow to 12 or 15 staff members. And, and think about, people ask me all the time, and, you and I've worked together on several topics over the years, and people say, well, how many dogs should I expect the average groomer to groom, or the groom tech to, to perform in a day? And we talk about those things. But even if in your setting, you're going to end up with, the 12 grooming stations, 15, you're going to continue to grow. There's going to be a day when you've outgrown your space where you're at right now. that's probably, you're probably at that number of grooming stations and that size of business, probably in the top, at least top 10% of the size, single businesses that I've probably witnessed myself. So coming from a very large grooming business background in my, in my past, in my career, I think our smallest location at the time had 7 grooming stations. The largest one had 20 grooming stations. You're going to begin to rival some of the most established, largest grooming businesses that exist.
Yeah.
Now, you probably probably what happens with me when I get up and do a presentation at a trade show or conference, or introduce myself on a podcast or a phone call, even with somebody that doesn't know me, when I say the size of business I had, they said, "Are you crazy?" Right? Are you crazy?
Yeah.
Right. So do you get that a lot amongst your peers when you say, "I have 9, I have a team of 9 right now, and we're going to expand. I'll probably end up with a team of maybe even twice that at some point."
Right. Yeah. I think sometimes I say it to myself more than other people say it to me. I think some people are surprised actually that, a grooming shop is that big of a business, and that it's that lucrative, and that, there is a need for us to have twice as many groomers as we have. I'm in Charleston, South Carolina, which is number one, a beautiful place to live. But number 2, it is extremely dog friendly. Like, there are dogs everywhere you go in Charleston, you are going to see dogs. And so there's really no, there's no lack of clients. It's just, and I've had, we currently have a wait list of about 100 clients just waiting to get in, so I feel very, very grateful that I'm, that the business is actually located where it is, that I have the client base that I do, and that, my clients are the ones who are getting us, those 100 waitlisted clients all came from current clients. I don't currently do a lot of advertising. I don't do a lot of promotions. It's a lot of word of mouth. It's pretty exciting. It's pretty exciting. And the other thing that I think is, it's really showing people that grooming is, it's a career. It's a profession. It's not just, a task. It's not just a menial job. I believe in my people. I believe in continuing education. Showing that a business, a small little grooming business, can become a bigger, successful small business, I think, kind of helps show the whole community that it's a business that means something,
It's legitimate, right?
Yeah.
Our industry, I've been in the industry, at the time of this podcast, we're talking January 2024. Next month in February, I will start my 39th year in the industry.
Yeah.
And, it served, the pet industry served me really well for my career. People take different pathways and in this industry, but I still believe we're in the best industry on the planet. Mm-hmm. doing things with with pets. I mean, come on, right? I mean, we and the people that love their pets, and as challenging as any day is, I think that we just have to at some point take a step back and look at other professions. And I'm really thankful I'm not a roofer. I'm really thankful. I'm really thankful that God did not bless me with the superpower of being really good at being a roofer, right? But I'm also not a dog groomer, right? But I've led and grown and established some pretty, really great grooming business models and grooming businesses, helping people like yourself do what you do. But not to take anything away from you, but let's just dive into that, right? You've got a team of 9 people, and you talk about this profession, and I think that that's important for everybody to understand that this is a profession. It is a career. It's something that, at Paragon, we try to tell our employers, just like yourself, that use our program to grow their team, that you're not offering somebody a job. You're offering them an opportunity at a career. In fact, I just met with a group yesterday who they work with inner city youth that just don't have the resources or really even exposure to the profession of dog grooming, and how we're going to be able to help those inner city youth get exposed to the career of dog grooming, to consider that as a profession. But how many of the people, Danielle, do you have on your current team of 9 that you've grown yourself?
Half of my groomers. So I have 6 groomers. 3 of my groomers came to me experienced with certifications through other programs. And then my other 3 groomers were hired in as groom techs. They started out, bathing, drying, doing all the stuff that, you got to learn first. And that's when I found Paragon. My very first Paragon graduate, Miss Dana. She had everything.
Hey,
Hey, Dana, she's the best. She had all of the qualities that I wanted for a groomer. Number one, she was compassionate. That's the biggest thing for me. We always approach all of our dogs here with compassion first. So she already had that. She was a hard worker. I mean, she came in and she was. There were days where she was the only bather, and this was back when we were doing it old school, where like we had a bather for bathing and drying all of our dogs. And this girl would like whip out 15, 10, 15 baths, and just keep going. So she had the work ethic. She just needed the skills. And that's where I found Paragon, I think it was in Atlanta, probably about 4 years ago that I first found out about Paragon. And what I did was, so going back a little bit, when I learned to groom, at the time, I was through an apprentice. So, Stacy taught me everything, but when I left there, I didn't have any kind of certification behind me. So when we decided to buy the grooming business and to own a grooming business again, it was important to me that I had a certification behind me. And so when I found Paragon, I was like, oh, let me check this out. And so I put myself through the program. I did level one, I did level two, like I did all the homework, I did all the learning, and it was a really good refresher for me coming back into the industry full time. But I also realized what a great program it was. And what I loved is that, my employees, again, I could hire for the qualities I wanted and teach them the skills. So they can do all of their, knowledge-based learning, all of their reading, their videos online, and then they can their practical stuff is being done here at the shop, with us, with me and my manager and our senior groomers helping guide them through that. And it's been very successful. I mean, I have now 3 Paragon graduates. Miss Dana's rocking it. She's doing six dogs a day. Miss Liv is bumping herself up. She's doing about 4 or 5 dogs a day. She had her first 6 dog day the other day, and we were all so proud of her.
Congratulations.
So they're really progressing at a really nice rate. And what I love is I'm able to teach them more the way of Zen Dog, so they can have their skills through Paragon, but then they get their fear-free, they're compassionate, kind of dealing more with the individual dog. We can focus on that part here.
Yeah, I think so, and you know. It's I'm glad you said it that way, because really it's a great segue into you mentioned that You are a professional groomer. You're still grooming, right? But you're grooming about 50% of your time, right? And the other 50% of the time you're spending on your business, not in your business. And I know that that sounds so cliche, but we miss that all the time in business. And I hear from my business owner, you know, employers out there all the time how can I focus on my business? I've got to be grooming. I've got to be, but at some point you made that your goal and you said, listen, I got to march toward this. I got to march toward, if I'm going to have changes, if I'm going to have the business, the size of business, and really, and these are things you've shared with me, right? And so I don't want to put words in your mouth, and you could say it yourself too, but you know, for all of the Hey Joe listener audience members out there that are owner operators or managers of the business, and you're actively performing the duties of the business. Great. That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Don't ever lose touch of that. But your growth potential for the business will be limited by how limited you are to be able to spend some time on the business. So Danielle, what was the switch for you? Because I mean, at some point you were grooming 100% of the time, right? I mean, well, okay, 100% of the time grooming, and then another 20, 50% of the time still on your business. So, I mean, you were beyond Bell as a business.
Working 120% of my life.
Yeah, exactly. You were 120% of yourself. And let me tell you, Danielle's about this tall. So, so 120% of Danielle, right?
Yeah, yep.
But that's not sustainable.
Uh-huh. No, it's not.
Grow, right?
It's not. Right. Exactly. You know, it was probably about 2 years ago. You know, throughout the first 3 years of the business, I've just been grooming, and I've been, you know, kind of putting a lot of other stuff off to the side and doing a lot of the admin stuff at night. So about 2 years ago, big changes happened in my life personally, and my business partner ended up leaving. And so I was kind of left with a really big business and just really me running it. And I had an amazing team, but they were grooming, they were doing their thing, right? So I finally came to the realization of if I really want this business to grow, I can't be tied to my grooming table for 8 hours a day. I can't help my people doing that. I can't be there for my clients, both my dogs and their owners. And I couldn't actually be there for myself. You know, I was really burning the candle at both ends for sure. And so I had to get kind of vulnerable, and I had to ask for help from my team, which is hard. It's very hard. I am very much the superwoman. I can handle everything. I can do everything. And so I started delegating. I started delegating certain tasks to certain people, and it was amazing. It was amazing to watch and see how my manager could take, you know, one thing and run with it. And then two of my groomers are very into social media, and our social media presence is terrible. And I was like, hey, do you guys want to try to make this? So they're, you know, and they're still doing it. They're posting all these fun things. They're making videos, you know. And so I just realized, you have a strong team. Get your team invested. Get your team invested in what's happening. So that was big change. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I stepped on you.
No, go for it.
You know what's really cool about that? When you do that, didn't you see them enjoying their job maybe even more than what it was that they enjoyed just grooming?
Mm-hmm. It was so fun to watch. It's so fun to still watch. You know them. They have their little ring lights set up that they can put their phones and make these fun videos on Instagram, and the dogs are all happy. And you know, it's been really fun to kind of watch them, as we've made these changes, actually start to enjoy their jobs a little bit more, you know, and not, you know, and I'm realizing they're feeling the same way as me. They're feeling like they were chained to their grooming table for 8 hours a day, you know, and that's not what I want. That's not what I want for my employees. So it involved making a lot of changes, both, you know, the way we did things procedurally, and just making a lot of changes in our mindsets. But we're getting there. We're still not there. I'm going to be honest. We are still not, you know, it's every day we're looking at different ways we can improve, and We really never stop. And I don't know if that's me and my team is like, could we just stick with one thing? But they always seem to be really excited about, you know, kind of being a little bit more innovative and making changes that are good for the dogs, the clients, themselves, and the business.
You know, it's interesting. I want to sort of go back to one of the statements you said is that you had to get vulnerable. Right.
Yeah.
You had to get vulnerable with yourself. You had some major personal challenges, you know, and personal and professional challenges. Right. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is that, you know, here we are, I can't even believe we're 4 years, you know, past COVID, if we're ever past COVID, but, right. you know, past like the 2020 COVID March, right. Mm-hmm. That we all seem to, you know, it's almost like, I don't know if you base your timeline on before COVID or after COVID, but that's, you know, sort of what everybody does, right. You go back and say, okay, when did I do that? Oh, that was before. Uh-huh. But you know, so you had COVID happening, mm-hmm. right? You had, some personal challenges, you had some professional challenges, sometimes they're mm-hmm. all sort of blended together. Mm-hmm. But I love the word you chose. You had to get mm-hmm. vulnerable. Mm-hmm. You had to say, okay, Wonder Woman, I need some superhero friends, right?
Yeah.
I've got to have other people on my team. And I remember having some of those conversations with you.
Mm-hmm.
And having been, I mean, I was honored to be invited into your business to work with you and talk through some of these things, but I am in no way the reason for your success. You had to make those challenges. You had to use the education and resources that you sought out, assemble them in a certain way and push forward. And I mean, it kind of is representative of the beginning of your career when you were a 20 something who mm-hmm. started her own business.
Right.
Right. So that bravery, that courage, sometimes just faith, maybe just, you know, leaning into it. I love that you give your team a lot of credit. You know, that's one thing I learned along the way in my career was that, you know, there were so many times it was like, listen, I'll just do it myself. It's just faster. It's just faster just for me to do it myself. But then, yeah, it might have been.
Mm-hmm. Right?
But then I had like 50 of those faster things I had to do myself.
Right.
And I didn't have time to breathe, right?
You don't have time to do them, yeah.
So I appreciate that about you. And I know that those are some of the challenges that you faced. But what's really cool too is you're not stopping with just professional dog grooming. I mean, I don't mm-hmm. want to make it sound like professional dog grooming is, you know, something minor at all because it's major. Right. You know, you're a strong member in your community, which is mm-hmm. important. You know, you talk about Charleston, you know, I mean, it, like it's this small little neighborhood, which, you know, which is awesome because, you know, your little corner of Charleston is Charleston's your neighborhood.
Yeah.
Your customers are, you know, your family and friends and neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
But you wanted to go further. So you wanted to keep enhancing the skill level of your team. So you keep them learning, mm-hmm. keep them engaged. Mm-hmm. They're doing things other than hands and fur grooming to fulfill them. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that you put in, that you established is you started to incorporate fear-free grooming. So mm-hmm. talk to the Hey Joe listener audience out there. Just, you know, what's the 30,000 foot view of fear-free grooming?
Okay. So fear-free, it was actually created by Dr. Marty Becker. He has several programs. There's a lot of vets, veterinarians that are following the fear-free model right now. And fear-free is basically, you know, it's a way of working with animals that we're actually being more compassionate. We're watching their body language and we're helping them alleviate the fear, the anxiety, the stress that a lot of times goes along with grooming and with vet care, right? You know, there is an anxiety component to grooming, unfortunately. We are taking Fido away from mom and dad. We're putting them in a crate. We're getting them wet. We're, you know, loud noises, all this stuff. And so it's more looking at grooming as like, yes, we have to get all these things done, but can we find a way to do it that makes the dogs maybe just a little bit more comfortable, maybe just a little bit more trusting, you know, so that the dog, and I've seen this, I mean, over the 5 years we've been doing this, I've seen this, the scared little puppy that can barely make it through the front door, right? And is just like, what is happening? What is going on? Taking the time, you know, using happy hoodies, using treats, using positive reinforcement to, you know, introduce them to the grooming world and setting them up for like lifelong success of grooming. And so those same puppies who their first visit could barely get through the door are now pulling mom and dad through the door, through that we have this swinging front gate that takes from the lobby to our grooming salon. And I can't tell you how many dogs come tearing through that front gate and just, you know, so happy, so happy to, and like some that like actually go into the grooming room looking for their groomer, you know, where is my groomer? I want to say, like, have to say hi first before I go in the crate. So just, you know, that's my ideal, right? Like that's, I would love for every dog that walks through Zen Dogs Spa's front door to do that. But there, that's not the case, you know? So just really taking it back and, you know, realizing that you don't have to cut every single nail on the dog's foot. You know, like sometimes you've just got to stop. Sometimes you just got to take a break. So, I mean, that's, sorry, I think I kind of went a little bit off track there, but you know, that's the whole theory of fear-free, and it's not, you're never going to remove all of the fear, all of the anxiety, all of the stress, but we can alleviate it and we can make it a more positive experience for both the dog and the client.
Well, and that's the point. I'm so glad you made it, because I was going to make it myself, but you beat me to it, which means you own the process and you own the, you know, the level of expectation of fear-free grooming practices, right? Which is, you know, it's more fear less than necessarily fear-free, because there's no scenario that we can create, no environment that we can create that's going to be completely free of fear, because, I mean, the dogs are like people. We're all afraid of something, or different levels of fear, different types of fear, arachnophobia, right? Don't even put a spider around me, right? My wife takes care of the spiders in our house, right? Right. But you know, I look at all of that and I think, you know, there are people out there that, and I'm one of them. I'm one of them. But after talking with you and knowing what you do with the fear-free, there are a lot of people out there that's like, yeah, that all sounds really great. You know, what am I going to do? Light candles and play, you know, yoga music in the background and burn some incense and dogs aren't going to bark. And, you know, all of those things are going to happen.
Yeah.
Right. What can we do? And if I'm really going to go that route, how in the world am I going to make money? Because I'm only going to be able to do two dogs a day. Well, you know what? This is for all of you listeners out there. Danielle's doing it. She's doing a really great job of it, because I think you've got a level head on your shoulders about what is possible and what is not, but it's always on the table. It's always, it's that compassion piece. And if the principle of fear-free drives a deeper compassion, well, then, you know, I've seen it, and I'm certainly I'm not going to name names, but I've seen some grooming environments when I watch, you know, I'll do observations when I'm at different facilities and places, and I'll watch groomers that are spectacular, groomers and groom techs that are just spectacular and compassionate. But I've also seen something that looks like pro wrestling. We're wrestling the dog onto the table. We're using a stronger, stiffer hand, and, you know, you know, I think it's one of those things, right? It's one of those things that this is what puts the professionalism into our profession, is the ability to know what to do and how to do and when
how to
do it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And to your point, I bet that, you know, if a dog is too much of a naughty Nelly, sometimes we have to say we can't do that dog's grooming. Right. I mean, this isn't a win lose type of arrangement with dogs, and it's sad, but I've seen that. I think we are moving past that. We're actually elevating the industry by putting more professionalism into the profession, and you are certainly an advocate and a positive force in that direction. So I appreciate you talking about how you have put fear-free program into your grooming and your level of expectations of because I think that helps temper maybe opinions that are out there about, can I do it in my salon? Should I do it?
I mean, I want to say we kind of have a balance of, you know, fear-free, but Within reason. You know, a lot of when you watch the, when you go through the certification of Fear Free, it's very much about like the dog always gets the choice. They can choose to get on the table. They can choose to get in the tub. And yes, I would love for that to be true, but unfortunately, it can't, like, you know, if you were to give every dog coming in your door the choice of what they wanted to do, you'd probably do one dog a day, you know, and you can't. So it's just finding that balance for us anyway of, you know, what can we take from Fear Free to apply to our daily lives just to make our lives and the dog's experience just a little bit better.
And it doesn't take anything away from the concept of Fear Free. In fact, I think it's paying it some incredible homage and honor to say, listen, this has guided the way that we do our business, and we do it in a compassionate way. But we do still have to make money, right? Because we've got staff that, you know, staff needs to make money too, right? As an employer, I've often said this, as an employer, our job, our number one job is to make sure that our staff has a job, right? That's our number one job. Our number one job is to make sure that they have one, and one that they feel fulfilled, and one that, you know, helps them be successful. And, you know, our one big objective at Paragon is helping others achieve their success. We're not going to do it for them, right? We're going to partner with them. No, we're going to help them achieve their success. I appreciate, by the way, the kind words about Paragon. We do try hard at Paragon, and it's wonderful to hear. It's wonderful to see. You know, like Miss Dana, when, you know, we met her right at Atlanta, and you know, she's probably so embarrassed because she's listening to this podcast right now and she's probably blushing. But as a young lady who just graduated a program, when we first met her, she's like walking away from us. And I can't even say walking. She's skipping.
You're fangirling over you, Joe. Fangirling hard over the whole
area. I don't want to go that far, but you know, I guess, but my point in, she was just so proud, right? That comes that not like pride, right? But she was proud of her accomplishment. She was successful, and she couldn't contain herself. It was so cool. It was very cool.
And that's really all I want for all of my employees. Like, I want them to be proud, and I want them to be successful, and I want them to be proud of their success. You know, like that should drive everything.
it really should. And sometimes that's in our business, and sometimes it's not. And as an employer, if our number one job is to make sure that they have a fulfilling and successful job, that's a really great life lesson. And sometimes it's just a mismatch. But we have to understand, if we can communicate, just like we do with the pets and with compassion, I think we're going to be a much better employer. So speaking of which, Zen Dog Spa, where do you see your business in 5 years? Where are you going in 5 years?
I just want to get through this year right now.
Hey, you put the question down for me to ask,
right? I know.
For all of you listeners out there, I always ask my guests, hey, throw a couple of questions down so that I can ask.
I know.
This came from you. I didn't ask. I'm not setting
you
up.
So in 5 years, I would love to see us, you know, pretty much, you know, at capacity in this facility, you know, be done with all of our construction, have a good solid team together. One of the things I really want to focus on once we're kind of settled in our new space is actually becoming a site for people to come and learn to groom with us, you know, using Paragon, kind of how I've trained my employees. So, you know, they could sign up with Paragon and do all their online stuff and come do their practical stuff with us. And, you know, we can also help them incorporate some of the fear-free stuff into their grooming. So, you know, that's something that that's in the back of my brain, you know, probably around the 5 year mark, to start really kind of focusing on that and looking at what that looks like. But you know, I just hope that, you know, we're still here with smiling dogs and smiling people, you know, rocking out dogs, as my Brooke groomer likes to say. She's all, we rock out dogs every day. I just want to continue to provide a compassionate grooming experience to the dogs in Charleston. I want to continue to grow our Zen Dog family, because I've already got a really, really good family, and I'm excited to see who else wants to join the crew. I'm really hoping we can kind of like take this whole fear-free Zen Dog model and, you know, help other groomers become successful in what they're doing.
Well, so as we wrap up this episode, and you've just been just so kind to be a guest on the Hey Joe podcast, and I mean, our time has flown by. So as we start to wrap up, to speak directly to the Hey Joe listener audience out there, there's really two people that are out there. One is somebody who is maybe graduating, graduating a course, or maybe they've been a groomer for a little while. Maybe they have aspirations to open up their own business. Some of them just want to be really great at being a really awesome employee, right? Your team, they want to be really good at being a really great employee. But then there's also employers out there that, like yourself, that are really having some staffing issues and just really struggling to staff. You just briefly just touch on, you know, for all of the existing groomers out there that either want to be the best employee you can be, what should they do? If they want to open up a business, what should they think about? And for all of the employers out there who are experiencing staffing issues, what should they consider?
Okay. I would say for current groomers, you know, continuing education, it's so important. You know, get to a convention, get to an expo, get online. I mean, there is so much online, TikTok, Instagram, you know, all of these amazing groomers out here in the world who are doing really great work and showing how they get that work done. And literally all you have to do is probably sit and stare at your phone for 20 minutes, which, let's be honest, we all do that every day anyway, right? So start using that knowledge that's out there and start, you know, getting it into your routine and start applying it to what you're doing. For people who are looking to go into business for themselves, I would say number one, you know, figure out what you want your business to be. When I bought Coats and Tails, it was a very different business than what I had envisioned, right? And I had to really stick with what that vision was. I knew I wanted to go the fear-free route. It was hard. You know, I inherited a business that had been in business for 20 years and things were done a certain way. And people were used to, every time I bring in Lucy, her nails are going to be done. And if you're not going to put a muzzle on her and hold her down, then I'm not going to bring her to you. And I had to say goodbye to a lot of those people. You know, I'm very much a believer of your vibe attracts your tribe. And so I just really focused on, these are the people I want as my clients, you know, and really put the energy towards them. And you're going to lose clients. There's going to be people who aren't going to, you know, buy into that method of grooming. But that's okay. There's a place for them as well, right? So, you know, just be really clear about what your vision is for your business and what you want it to be. And a business plan. I have to tell you, I'm going to be 100% honest. I had a little bit of a business plan before I bought this business. I had a rough idea of what I was going to do. Throughout this whole expansion, I now have a 50 plus page business plan that is, I am so proud of. It has given me so much joy to look back and see where we were in 2019 and where we are now. So don't lose sight of that either, right? Like always keep in mind that, like, you're always growing, you're always expanding, and don't forget to celebrate all those successes.
That's wonderful.
And
overcome staffing issues. What would you recommend to them?
Yeah, staffing. So we went through it after COVID, just like everybody else. Impossible to hire people, impossible to find people to show up for even the interview, right? And so, again, I really didn't, during my, like, interview process of hiring in groom techs, I wasn't really asking them about what are your grooming skills, what are your da-da-da-da. I was asking about, you know, their previous job experience, their previous, you know, what makes them excited, you know, what they're excited about, what their hobbies are, you know, what's the best job they've ever had, like things that would tell me that they're going to be a really good employee, you know, that they're going to have the skills. And the other thing I started doing is, if I finally got somebody through to the interview process, I always have all of my potential employees come in and spend 2 hours at the shop. And a lot of times they're just kind of watching what we're doing. They're maybe bathing a dog, maybe helping dry a dog. But what I love about that is it brings them in. Everybody in the salon gets to spend time with them, you know, kind of get to, you know, feel them out a little bit. And it shows me, number one, very firsthand, like how they are with handling dogs, because that's really like the base. Like if they're afraid of dogs, if they're, you know, really standoffish, if they're just standing there with their arms crossed, watching everybody else work and not really trying to like jump in and help out, that's my first like, maybe this isn't the best fit. Mm-hmm. Now, if they come in and they're, you know, engaging with the team and they're engaged with the dogs and they're, how can I help? And how, that's the person I want. That's the person that I want to, you know, come in and learn from the beginning, start at the beginning and help them grow into a, you know, into an experienced professional groomer.
Well, and what you're pointing out, and we'll close with this, is that you're looking for somebody first to be a really great employee, a really great member of the team. The team gets a vote. Right? The team, somebody
the team gets a vote.
Is this person somebody we want on our island or not?
Yeah.
Right? But what I really like about it as well is that, you know, you're first trying to focus on making sure that they're a good employee, right? The way before technical ability, they've got to be what I call a AAA employee. Right. Attitude, attendance, and appearance. And that's where reviews start, with good employees or employees that might need coaching or reinforcing some principles. But that AAA status, attitude, attendance, and appearance before any technical ability. And that'll keep us much more sane as employers. Daniel, thank you so much for being a member, a guest, if you would, on the podcast. I'm really proud of you. I'm proud of your team.
Thank you.
And, you know, I will have some more information about Zen Dog Spa on our website at paragonpetschool.com. If you're ever in the Charleston area, I bet Danielle would welcome.
Please come check us out.
Danielle, thank you again. I appreciate you. Appreciate your business. Appreciate the force that you are in the business. And
thank you.
You have a great rest of your day.
All right. Thanks, Joe. Thanks so much.